Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Accidental Quantum Physicist. I think it's probably episode 7 or 8. And I'm going to do sort of a on consequence of spin and spin wave functions, which is the famous 21 centimeter radiation. So that's a hydrogen radiation, so just normal hydrogen gas, which has got sort of any sort of temperature at all, will radiate this particular radiation. And it's sort of a very spin radiation. And firstly, what I'll say, what I'm doing is a podcast while walking. I'm just sort of listening to the quality of it more and more, trying to improve it, and I'm selecting a route. Yeah, it's at the moment you can hear the traffic noise, and I'll walk successively further and further away from traffic and reduce that down. But I will eventually get a better microphone. At the moment I've got it's called a lapel microphone, and I'm wearing a set of glasses and suspending it off in a little foam cube off to the side of my mouth. So hopefully that will be good. It's sort of like a performance microphone. Unfortunately, it's picking up all the sort of traffic noise and back noise. And I suppose with a high quality recorder, I'd be able to get it. It's got a sort of a dictaphone, which is supposed to pick, for dictation, pick things up. So that's bad. But what I'll do is I'll move on to a shotgun microphone. So I've got a $30 shotgun microphone, which I've ordered in from China, and that will arrive in the goodness of time, and that will mean I'll have to have a backpack in front of me. So not do I look odd at the moment with wearing sort of reading glasses and having a cube at the side of my face. I'll have this here. Now we're going to do the 21 centimeter radiation. Now I tried to ease you into quantum mechanics by feeding you hopefully making you feel uncomfortable with the Copenhagen school. This is really, it's the electron as we imagined before, but I've sort of shoehorned it into quantum mechanics, sort of like butchering it, sort of like a bad organ transplant, in that sort of like putting a pig's heart directly in a human. It fits, but it's wrong. Sorry, there's a car coming past. Not much I can do about that. I'll move away from that. So yeah, that's bad. So I've looked at what a quantum wave function is in terms of feel. It's sort of a large volume with no surface on it. And then I've said it's a three-dimensional thing. It's a three-dimensional field, existence field, where the existence field numbers are complex numbers, and you've got to multiply the complex number by the conjugate, which is the same real part, but the imaginary part is negative, the conjugate, and that will give you the actual expectation value. When you say expectation value, it's how much, I suppose it's expectation value, but it's how much of it is actually there. It's sort of like sort of a helicopter shot of an ant colony. Now, the ant colony, you've got the individual ants, but sort of if they blur out, you can see that there'll be more ants closer to the hole and less as they go out. But they're not ants, they're not individual particles, it's just blurred out. The blurry quantum mechanics. Then I promised not to give you too much maths, but then I suppose spooked you out by telling you electrons have 720 degree rotation, i.e. if you walk around an electron, you have to walk around it twice to get back. It's sort of like this magic spell. You have to walk around something not once but twice to get home. And there's a few experiments for which the 720 degree is a really obvious outcome. But then there's the other thing I told you, which is about spin. And spin drops out of the solution of the basic Schrodinger wave equation, where it says that the curvature is related to the local energy of that area. It's a wave function, and that local energy is a special relativity equals mc squared, or equals mc squared plus pc. Mc squared plus pc. I think that's right. Yeah. And those get to your energy. It gives you a really super squarey equation, which has four roots: spin up, spin down, matter, antimatter. And it means that quantum physics, one of the secrets of quantum physics is that you don't get one universe, you get two universes: spin up universe, spin down universe. And that you get double the amount in the number of particles, so you can have a two wave functions, and they're identical, and they can sit on top of each other, but one spin up, one spin down. And where you see that is in helium. Helium has the first electron really close in, and the second electron equally close in, spin up, spin down. And I pointed out that the electron spin has two states. It can either align with the magnetic field or against the magnetic field. And the stronger the magnetic field is, the more aligned it is to the magnetic field. And because of this angular momentum, you can never quite, it's spinning like a top, it's a gyroscope. You can never, no matter how much you pull it, drag it to the magnetic field line, it will resist. So, very, very weak field that's close to 90 degrees. Strongest fields, it goes down to 10, 1 degrees as you go up. But as you go up, it spins even faster, it precesses. So it doesn't point around the magnetic field, it moves in a circle around the magnetic field. Now, if you've got a big bunch of matter, heaps and heaps of electrons, they're all processing at slightly different, I suppose, phases. And so, on average, they are up to pointing along the field lines. Or, you can reverse spin of the electron. And as I've said before, this involves something akin to pulling a glove inside out. So, if I rotate the spin of electron, I can do that by rotating the field lines, but that will be it'll still be following the field lines. A electron physically doesn't have enough bits to it to actually point in any other direction. So, say in a fairly powerful field, and where I have 0 degrees with the pointed directly along the powerful field lines. Say that I have it 5 degrees, and it will circumscribe the magnet. The magnet will, at high speed, rotate in a cone with half apex angle of 5 degrees, or I can actually, I can't actually turn the electron anything else but 5 degrees. However, I can suddenly get the tip of the electron and pull it inside out, so it's just pointing down, at 85 degrees and 85 degrees, but this is at a higher energy state. It's flipped, and it's sort of like two magnets repelling each other. It's flipped. Now, how this radiates energy, I think, is I suppose determined by a rotating magnetic field. It's not due to anything to do with the distribution of the electron shape. It's just this pure angular momentum. Now, I suppose what's more important is that the change in angular momentum is fixed. So the change from spin up to spin down is h, Planck's constant, and Planck's constant is both a unit of angular momentum and a unit of action. So Planck's constant has the dimension of momentum times the distance, which gives you momentum on a string. So it's the length of the string times the speed. So it's got units of kilograms, speed is meters per second, m s to the minus 1, with an extra m thrown in, so it's kg midpoint m squared midpoint I think it's called a, yeah, I've forgotten the actual term for it. So just to get you up to speed, physics has changed. Now, I don't know. People will say, oh, it's not taught in at schools, it's not examined, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't know. You can say any wrong fact you want and say it's taught in schools. And the fact is that if you say a wrong fact in a school and it's accepted, it'll be marked right. Whereas if someone says a right fact, which is not accepted, so someone can be marked right for being wrong and marked wrong for being right. Look, it's unfair, but let's get down to it. So there's a new way of writing meters per second. It's not ms minus 1, because that's milliseconds to the minus 1. It's m mid dot s to the minus 1. So the units of angular momentum here is kilograms, and you're going to have to, even though I don't say it, it's actually written with a little dot. So it's not a decimal point, it's a dot halfway up. And look, this is true, and I don't know, look it up in this data. Now, what can I say? Well, you know, and people say, look, you're the only person who knows this. You know, how can it possibly be true? Well, it's sort of like, if you could stop abusing me and actually get on to the internet and check it out for yourself and do a bit of study yourself and stop fluffing around and actually do a quantum wave function. You know, I don't know, I'm a bit sick of people. I didn't want to understand stuff. I quite honestly, no one said, warning, do not read this quantum physics book, and do not attempt to understand it, because everyone else thinks it's understandable, so you'll be vilified if you do understand it. However, let's get back to these spin states, these magnets. Now, are they magnets because they have charge moving around inside them? Well, the answer is yes, but really no, because they don't have a smaller component inside it. They have just the property of magnetic field. Now, at a certain point, they did have things moving around it. So any object is made out of multiple bits of light which come together and get entangled. So they're made from a particle, antiparticle, reverse annihilation thing, and for some reason there's some mechanism which bottled up all the antimatter, but all matter itself can be turned into just light and energy with the antiparticle. So at a certain point it was macroscopically moving, there was a certain part of space, but then space condensed into this object, leaving with the property of angular momentum and the property of magnetic field. So there is things that are called orbital angular momentum and orbitally generated magnetic field as you get further out, and then eventually up to electromagnets. But as I've said, Planck's constant has the dimension of that. It's also got the dimension of energy seconds, which is energy is a kilogram accelerated at oh yes, what is it? The integral, I've got to really work it out. Oh yes, it's the it's a kilogram, it's a force of a newton, energy, one joule is a newton times a meter, okay? So, and a newton is the amount of force necessary to accelerate a kilogram at 1 meters per second squared. So it's a meter times a kilogram times meters per second squared, so per second to the minus 2 times a second, and it gives you exactly back again, kilogram meter squared seconds to the minus 1. So and an action is a it's an interesting thing, and I would say that unless you do I suppose you've got to do Hamiltonian's systems equations for big multiple systems, you can integrate the energy over time and you'll get the action. It's called the action, and this is it's something not in physics, it's something which as you're reading classical physics, it drops out when you're looking at something called Lagrangians and Hamiltonians. Now, these are two two things. I'm just trying to think. I have to really go back. Lagrangians and Hamiltonians. It's the kinetic energy. It's the potential energy plus the kinetic energy, and the potential energy minus the kinetic energy. Is one's the Hamiltonian, one's the Lagrangian, and you there's a way of integrating those over time to get a defined system orbit. This is, it's like there's two ways of looking at the systems in bulk without actually getting into the microscopic detail of how every classical particle is evolving. So one is this Hamiltonian. There's the question. Now I'll have to go back. I've got a beautiful little book called Classical Physics, and now I should say that my brain has been totally wiped, and I'll have to go back and read it. And what happens is you read it and you struggle for a while. So I'll see if I can get back and do it. And Lagrangians is another aspect to going through, and they are related. However, Lagrangians refer to an orbit, and so you have in a system of two bodies and gravity, you have six Lagrange points on the vertices of a hexagon, but only three of those are stable in it. So these are points where, as the body orbits, it can, your satellite can orbit, and so you can have a satellite essentially been tagged and towed by the moon, such that it stays at at a stable point, and that is, what can I say? Look, it's intensely interesting, that aspect. But let's get back to. So it's really interesting how the classical physics melds into the quantum physics. But quantum physics is that you've got the ghost of these properties, so you're left with the property, but no object, or the object has left its shape and parts behind it. It's sort of like an object has got so small, its actual components have now disappeared, and it's sort of tunneled into space and knotted space. Whereas before, when it was large and big, it had little bits and pieces, and so the formulas have actually followed it in. They haven't broken down as they've come in. So quantum physics has this this aspect to it. Now, we have that an electron is large, and a proton is small, and an electron plus a proton makes a hydrogen atom. So when the universe cooled, half the protons and neutrons were turned into helium. So the neutrons and half the neutrons were turned into heliums, which is a combination of neutrons and protons, and more than half. Four protons went into a helium, leaving three protons out, leaving you roughly 25% of the universe, or 20% of the universe being helium, and the rest is hydrogen. So although the vast senses of particles are hydrogens, weight for weight, it's sort of like what's happened is that I've got a boatload of, 75 tourists, and they are diminutive fitness freaks, and they're 50 kilograms each. And then I've got the people for the weight challenge class, and they're 200 kilograms each. They are massive gorillas. And what's going to happen is I say 75 people. We've got 100 people on the cruise ship, and those extra 25 will double the weight of the cruise ship. It's the same weight because four times the. so I should really make it 20-80. Each one of them accounts for four others, something helium. So helium's, so there's hydrogen. Now, as we said before, the proton sits inside the electron, and a little bit of the most intense part of the electron sits inside the proton. So they actually overlap themselves in space, and there is no motion of an electron because there's actually no parts of the electron to go, but it has the property of falling fastest at the mean radius of the electron. So at the 50% density point, it's got the highest flow through, and the gradient is always falling. Its electron is forever falling into the proton, but it doesn't have a small. It's no small. It's a bit. It's like it's throwing itself at the at the proton hole, but it's too big to go across. Now, as we've said before, the spin of these things gives the magnetic field, and the proton has a magnetic field, and the electron has a magnetic field. So what happens is that these electron, as you can say, could actually align itself either with or against the proton. Okay, and there's no options there. It's now so small it can't sort of half align. It must either be totally aligned or totally against the line. And in that the change in angular momentum from one state to another is an H bit. Sorry for tapping the microphone there. And it's just here I'm going down this gorge, and I really hope that the little bit of shielding I've done for the microphone kills it. It's actually not in a soft foam package, it's in a hard foam package, and I'm sure the wind will hit the edge of it and it will be a disaster of sorts very soon. So essentially the electron and the proton are two little magnets, and if they come together such that their magnetic fields both point north, they will repel each other. So one will point north and the other will point south. That is, it's best that the spins oppose each other. And this transition means that the electron is rotating at a frequency going around, and then it will point the other direction. Now, I just have to really think, in terms of it's to do this, it has to be in effect the magnetic field going opposite, and to do it, it has to emit radiation. Now, one has to understand that the radiation is a vibration in space. That is, the space has basically an electrical and magnetic resilience, I think is the best way to do it. And so when this flips, it sends off this vibration through space. Say if the north and north are aligned, if you spin, it will go over and transfer angular momentum. So it will transfer a unit of angular momentum, and it will transfer the energy into space. So the energy was in the atom and now is in the space. So the important thing is to understand that what makes up light, or nothing makes up light. Light is just an oscillation of space, the resilience of space that goes out. And this oscillation is pretty well fixed because the magnetic field of the proton electron, so they're both charged, but they both have a unit of magnetic field. Now, the unit of magnetic field is the magnetic dipole moment for it. So, what units they are in. I just have to really think about what the unit of magnetic field, what the unit is. But this is 21 centimeter radiation, and therefore, if you set up a radio receiver, which has got an angle like a shotgun radio receiver, looks at things, you will get a map of the amount of neutral hydrogen. This is not ionized hydrogen, no fuss hydrogen, this is ground state hydrogen just sitting out in space, and we can actually get a full map of our galaxy, other galaxies, and eventually as you go back, so that 21 centimeters, which is just an oscillation of space, if the space is expanding as you go further back, or if it's from a space which has expanded, it will, coming into us, will be longer wavelength, and so this is multimeter wavelengths, and so these are the sort of massive radio telescopes over hundreds of kilometres in the outback Australia, where there's There's no one. You know, there really is no one. No one has a mobile phone because there's no mobile phone towers. You know, you're miles away from anything. And this looks at the primeval hydrogen back in the early universe by looking at it. And this is 21 centimeter radiation, and it's all to do with spin, and it's all to do with, I suppose, quantum mechanics. And it's this awesome, it's not black body radiation. Black body radiation is, you know, it comes from a dense, heavy object. It's like this food market where you get the money, you buy some fruit, then you sell the fruit, get some money, and it's all this entire thing. And essentially, it's the number of rich people to poor people. It forms the distribution of the market. It's sort of like an energy market. So if you got an object, there's this real energy market where things cross trade and go across. This is more like Christmas carolers. They all, hydrogen sings, woo, at 21 centimeter. So that's a tour, I suppose, a gift for having stuck through quantum mechanics and understanding wave functions and spin. And you may not have understood it, but it means that if you can at least acknowledge you don't understand it, I suppose, you can place your understanding of 21 centimeter radiation correctly. If you just deny quantum physics and spin, if you like, you just go, I'm not teaching that. Who understands it? It means that you sort of like arrive, sort of like going to find a party where you've thrown your GPS out, thrown the book out, and you're going to find your way to a party by just sheer loving yourself, personality. Oh, I love myself so much. I've got a sense. And what happens is you meet these people. What are you doing? I just love myself. I just do. Have you learned anything? Let me tell you about myself. I don't know. So I hope you've enjoyed 21 centimeter radiation. It's out there. It is beautiful. Look over on the internet for 21 centimeter radiation or hydrogen stuff. And it's like the most, look, and the other thing is that I don't think sort of light that you can see has got lifetimes of milliseconds at the most, you know, microseconds, nanoseconds. This has got a lifetime, I think, of tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of years. Now, it means that, well, how can it be? Because there's an awful lot of hydrogen out there. It's just softly glowing away, and it's such a sort of calming radiation to look at. And I don't know, it's very calming to look at the galaxy and to see the hydrogen there. Well, I hope you've enjoyed it, and I'll just check if I'm recording well. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.